Learn live in the classroom at Online Trading Academy's Financial Education Center in Bellevue. You'll have access to state-of-the-art workstations where you can learn on a professional trading platform. Text Curley, C-U-R-L-E-Y, to 57682 to register for a free half-day workshop and learn more.
Got it. Here we go. Coming around the bend, and we're heading back to the barn. It is Thursday, so it is my day to take the bits and pieces, leftover manure that was not spread out on the fields, clean that up before we take it back to the barn. Tom, big horse coming up, sitting next to you.
Didn't sound too big. What, like a pony?
Pull the wagon. I got to put the horse up next to you. I got a lot of stuff going on. Thank goodness you're not trying to whip. Yikes. All right. We're going to get to the news. I'm sure Mike Lewis wants to get in here now. Guy that's been in the business for a long time. Ink-stained fingers. He worked for the, I think, the business, the PI.
For a newspaper. That's how old he is.
He's a journalist. Come around, get around. Oh, here he comes. Welcome to the circus. All right. How's the head tax thing coming along? Well, that's been a nice little story.
That's
for you to cover. By the way, can we congratulate you on your outstanding coverage of the May Day riots?
Made it into a promo.
We did.
You made it. Did into you a make it into a promo?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
What was I saying in the promo?
No. Not
much happening here.
Not you. Making fun of the fact that you were out there.
Yeah, we just threw it out there to you in the field to report that nothing was happening.
Nothing was happening.
And you did
still
a fine
nothing
job.
Happening.
Yeah. Wow. Great.
You see anything out there? Mike Lewis, I don't see anything. No, I didn't see anything like that.
Is the paint dry at this point, Mike? The paint is on the wall. Is the paint dry? Are you watching it dry? And poor Mike Lewis had
got another millimeter of grass growth.
All right, but the head tax is a great story. Lots of cool stuff
going
on.
It is the gift that keeps on giving.
Yes.
So what's happening today is this. I mean, we've been covering the head tax a lot over the last few days. Right now, sources are telling me in City Hall that the City Council is going to delay. They were supposed to vote on the head tax on the 14th. Mm-hmm. The head tax now, which is this tax on major employers, the largest employers in Seattle, to fund homeless $75 million annually in homeless services. Mm-hmm. That they are going to push it back, maybe to the 21st, maybe even longer than that, while a plan is hashed out, backed by the mayor, that may make all sides at least come to the table, because obviously big business and to some degree big labor, certainly trade unions, are vehemently opposed to this thing.
Right.
And now city council members, as we saw last night with the Mike O'Brien show in Ballard, mm-hmm. they're getting a lot of blowback on this too. I think it was a miscalculation on their part on what the civic reaction was going to be.
Really?
Yeah.
Why do you say that?
Why do I think it was a miscalculation?
Yeah.
Because I think that they weren't anticipating. I mean, what I'm hearing is that they've been going around doing a lot of discussions, Chamber of Commerce meetings, things like all the council members. Mm-hmm. And almost universally, they're getting a tremendous amount of, hey, maybe you're going like one step too far. This is a progressive liberal city. There's no question about that. And there still is a contingency of people who are very much in favor of taxing big businesses to fund this. Uh-huh. But they're finding that there was a silent group of people who are not so silent anymore, as we heard last night in Ballard.
How about that? You find that to be interesting, Tom?
Yeah, no, because I thought that they fully expected that kind of blowback, especially on the heels of, because we threw out our program yesterday when the news came across that Amazon was, you know, wait a minute here, that was going to cause all sorts of, I was afraid of that, I told you. So I didn't get the sense that they were as caught off guard, maybe by the anger, but I would have guessed yesterday that would have been, as Hannah says, like a 70-30 split in favor of not having the head tax or against the head tax.
What's happening is interesting right now. So there are five council members who are still sort of locked down and want this head tax.
Out of nine.
Yes. You need six. And the mayor is not on board with it the way it is right now, although she hasn't said publicly that she will veto this. I think she is starting to say privately, like, this is the threat is out there, because you need six votes mm-hmm. to override a veto in Seattle city government. So we've got four. Now, how resolute are the four about not passing this thing? And they are at varying levels of opposition.
Yeah.
Some very specific things. I think what's happening right now is this, that the mayor's office is going to craft an alternative proposal that is going to look a little bit, potentially a head tax, but a lot lower, and something acceptable to big business, and maybe something that actually has a shorter shelf life. Uh-huh. So it's a head tax for a year to fund X, and a very specific delineation of what it is going to pay for. Because I think that's also really important to the business community, because they feel like, hey, man, we're the city's paying a lot for homeless programs. Mm-hmm. We're not quite sure we've ever had a clear accounting of where this money is going.
But don't you, are they or are they not working with Amazon? In other words, if you're working with the business community, are you consulting with Amazon, the mayor's office, to see what would be allowed and what wouldn't be? For instance, if Amazon decides we are going to pull up stakes, no more 8,000 jobs, no more Rainier Square building leasing, we'll sublease that. If there is any that kind of pressure, are they saying, okay, what would you be willing to go for?
Yes.
A temporary, that's, what, they are negotiating.
That's exactly what's
Amazon.
Happening right now.
Okay, good.
Is that, but again, the problem here, and this is the thing that hasn't been talked about a lot, here is the issue that I've been, all the lobbyists and the attorneys and the people who deal with the city council and deal with the mayor's office have said this from the get-go, that the mayor at this point is not a, is more of a reactor than an actor. And so that the mayor essentially set the situation where kind of didn't tamp this one down when it was building in city council, the head tax thing, and sort of sat back and waited for something to happen. And now the mayor's office caught a little bit flat-footed when this thing really erupted and they didn't have a counterproposal done. So they're in the process right now of figuring out, all right, what can we make it that's acceptable? Because not they don't want to be just acceptable to Amazon, but to also the progressive factions on the council.
Right.
Because if they irritate the four members who are the holdouts at this point, and one of them switches, then they've got an override.
Sure,
and once the mayor gets overridden once, it's, you know, off to the races as far as who is actually going to be running the city.
There you go. You got to beat him once. It's been referred to as extortion and blackmail, what Amazon announced yesterday. Was it Shama Sawant that said it's extortion and blackmail?
Yes.
Yes. So of the four, have any of them reacted with Amazon saying, you know what, maybe we won't move forward? Have they changed their tune in any way?
Well, they've kept their cards pretty close to the vest. I mean, they all have... There are...
Wait a minute. Which four are we talking about? The four that
the four
are,
that four are, that are holding out? Or no, there's five in favor.
Yeah.
Five in favor.
If
five
you're solid in. Sawant. Well, right. It's four, and then Shama Sawant will throw in her support if she doesn't
absolutely.
Get 150 a million.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And so, they're all locked in. All the ones that...
So
they're pretty solid at this point.
So is your question about the four that are supposedly solid or the four that are holding out?
I want about the no that are positive on the idea of the head tax.
Yes.
Did that scare them at all? That's what
a good
I want
question.
To know.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So the question then is,
yeah.
Could you restate the question? Because I'm not sure I followed.
Yeah.
You guys
civil.
Extended back and forth.
The question
on this.
Is, the people that are in favor of the head tax on the city council, given what Amazon said yesterday, are any of them quavering?
At this point, not publicly.
No,
but
I think, what's happening is that there's a group of them, not all of them, but a group of them, probably not Mike O'Brien, probably not Shama Sawant, there's a group of them that are willing to listen to counterproposals.
Oh,
I think Lisa Herbold, I think folks like that are actually saying, all right, this is the first salvo, what do you got? And so now it's kind of on the mayor's office to not only make them happy, but this is the way you peel away support, is you provide an alternative, right? I mean, but right now, there isn't an alternative.
Okay.
And so this is what's on the mayor's lap, is to actually take a more active role in this. I mean, this is essentially what someone described it to me is if you have, and you would know this, John, if you have teenage kids, the mayor's relationship to the council was like letting your teenage kids pick dinner in perpetuity and then realize that you're just getting like a lot of pizza and not a lot of anything else. This is the way the mayor's relationship with, like, the mayor hasn't actually said, this is what I want to do.
Be a leader.
Here is the legislation.
Yeah.
She's sort of like been in this position of being on the receiving end of a lot of.
Quick final question for you. So you are taking your paycheck and you are offering it as a wager.
No, what I said yesterday in the newsroom to Zach was, I would bet my paycheck that the vote is not going to happen on the 14th, and it turns out it's likely not going to happen on the 14th. But what I didn't tell him was, I actually didn't fill out my time card this week, so I won't be getting a paycheck.
And if he did, it would be insider trading, because he knew something, or he wouldn't have said it.
Thanks, Mike Lewis. Appreciate you coming in. How much does Jeff Bezos hate paying taxes?
This is crazy. This is from the just is from 2013. Just a quick story for you, Tom. Just so you know that he's deadly serious. They don't want to pay any taxes. Do you know when he wanted to set up Amazon in the first place? He wanted to set it up on an Indian reservation to avoid paying taxes.
No, is that right?
Yeah. And then also part of the company is set up in Luxembourg. You knew about that, right?
No.
Yeah. So a section of to avoid the paying the taxes, they've got something in Luxembourg where the taxes are very, very low. That backfired on him a couple of times.
Yeah.
But anything that he can do to avoid taxes.
Well, remember, right now, thanks to uproar, he is paying sales tax in 45 states that he was trying to get away from because you couldn't tax things online. So when he started off, he was completely tax-free, and mm-hmm. then everybody got a bite of the Amazon apple, so to speak.
Right. One of his favorite quotes is, "Your margin is my opportunity." I mean, the guy is ruthless.
Voracious.
Yeah. Your margin is my opportunity. His other great quote, "If you only do things where you know the answer in advance, your company goes away." And the last one is that if all businesses need to be forever young or ever young, if your customer base ages with you, you're Woolworths.
But that second to last comment is typical of why they can have so many failures.
Right.
I mean, the idea is that you try a lot of things and you don't know. That's a dangerous business model, but overall it's working out for Bezos.
Don't screw with them. 8,000 employees now put on hold because they're going to wait and see how this head tax goes. Canadian Senator David Richards, Tom, the only reason we're talking with him is because he spoke
because we love hockey.
This guy, how old is this guy? He is on record. He's in the Senate chamber, and he's bemoaning how American commentators are ruining hockey.
I love this.
Honorable Senator, since it's playoff time, I decided to write about hockey. And this statement is humbly called, "Hockey games U.S. play-by-play commentators have utterly ruined, which is never mentioned by those who have contracted our playoff games out to NBC or ESPN networks, and which Canadian commentators have been silly enough to imitate," or something of that sort.
And you're like, oh boy, here we go.
"Long ago and far away, when I was a boy, we wore hockey sweaters, not hockey jerseys. And we never sat in locker rooms. Some of us never saw a locker room before grade 10. Dressing rooms, they were called. And we didn't have a half wall. What would that be? We had boards. And we got penalties for boarding, not half walling. And we didn't deny a shot. We actually saved it."
She's getting warmed up. He's going to take that straw out of his mouth. Hold on.
"Nor did we take a wrister. What an insulting word. We took a wrist shot."
Wrister is an insulting word, Tom.
"Nor did we take a slapper. What an insulting word. We took a slap shot. And none of us from about the age of 6 months on ever needed a laser beam to follow a puck. And we didn't talk about he moves up there now and again and is swinging to and fro. Or this, he makes a luscious pass right there. Or this, he takes a real good knuckler. No, my friends, we knew the motion of the ice and talked about gypsy doodling and swallowing the ice. And a player never took a slapper off the half wall, but there might have been a scintillating slap shot. And no U.S. commentator can speak."
Okay, I have 30 more seconds of this, and then he's wrapping it up another 33. You want to hear him final finish up?
Okay, yeah.
Here we go. Don't forget, it's a sweater, not a jersey.
Yeah, I think that's
I know my fellow senators.
Would you want it rather a sweater or a jersey?
Well, no, in a dressing room rather than a locker room. It feels very...
In a sweater?
"I know my fellow senators that all of this seems petty, but nothing is petty about our game, nor the language you use to illuminate it. Our language enhanced and enriched every aspect of the play because our commentators actually knew what was happening on the ice. Our language was pure and didn't deny or lessen the greatness of the game because we wanted to sell it to an audience who didn't understand its greatness. So had to be convinced about golden goals and shootouts and informed by the language of basketball and rules of European soccer."
Good Lord.
European soccer. Well, what I think is hilarious is dipsy doodling is considered...
That's better
than
a wrister? Would you rather be accused of doing a wrister or dipsy doodling, Tom?
I'm a wrister all the way.
Yes, you are. The lion attack. This is a story that we were trying to get to the other day.
Yeah.
The guy bottle fed this lion.
From infancy for the entire 10 years.
Nobody bottle feds a full-grown lion.
Well,
just get the nipple in his mouth. He'll be all right. So the guy raises the little lion from the time it's a little teeny tiny lion, like on Lion King, where you'd hold it up in the air.
Simba.
Simba. And then you figure, well, you got a pretty good relationship with the lion.
Nobody picked up on your music cue.
Sorry. And there's a video that shows the man entering the enclosure just before he is attacked. By the way, as I go to play this, what Tom was most shocked by was the person with the video camera.
Yeah.
Very neat closure. What's happening, Tom?
The lion is attacking the man who had fed him from infancy on. He is in a fenced enclosure, and he's trying to get out, and the lion runs after him. About 3 seconds, he crosses like 50 yards and nabs him, and then he's left there kind of slumped over. He sort of wriggles in pain, and then the lion grabs him again and pulls him behind some bushes. And all this time, these people are
screaming.
Oh my God! Somebody help, please!
He's gonna go!
Please!
Jabba!
Terrible, awful. What Tom was most upset about was the lady that's screaming and crying still continued to videotape the whole thing.
Yes. Now, it struck me as odd. However, I understand the context better now.
Oh, okay.
When I first did. So when we're done with it, I'll explain
worker,
where she was.
Worker is trying to shoot the lion to save the man.
Oh, my God!
Shoot!
Wow.
Get a rifle. Somebody get a rifle, just in case.
Please, somebody help him.
Wow. At that point, he was behind the bushes, and the lion was chewing on him.
It is say something about us, how comfortable we are with videotaping even the most horrible things, because she continues to record it, on her phone.
Yeah.
It's really something. Now, the context of this is fascinating to me. The reason why she couldn't do anything, she's in a cage. This is for tourists.
Yeah.
They have a handful of tourists get in a big cage it's basically a cage on wheels. Mm-hmm. The guy who got attacked is driving this cage on wheels. What they do is they drive through an area where there are lions, and they put chicken carcasses all around the cage, and then the lions can attack them, and you get this experience of being attacked by lions.
Yeah, it's like a shark cage.
Yeah, like a shark tank.
Yeah.
Right? Shark cage, yes. And in this particular case, the guy got out. They have somebody, they've done this a million times, they say. They have somebody out on the other side of the enclosure, calling the lion over, and he's throwing things at him, or maybe
like
food.
Chum in the water.
And that was the way for him to open the gate and allow them to drive through where this lion was. Instead, he turned on a dime and went after him.
Now, the good news is the guy is... Thank you. The man is alive.
He is. He survived, and he still can't... He says he's putting up a brave face, so people who know him say he is really horrified. And, psychologically, this has taken a real toll on him. He's 72 years old. This is kind of his retirement plan. He's been doing this for about a decade.
And how did the things work out for the lion?
The lion is probably buried today.
Opportunity. Circle of life, Tom.
That's right.
Circle of life.
Circle of life. Circle of life. Another song. Is this the circle of life?
No. It's the beginning of life. They're all swaying back and forth and doing the dipsy doodle whisker.
But we've given them enough time to come up with the circle of life song. Elton John.
Yeah. Tim Rice.
Tim Rice is
so painful. Moving along to a bed at this point. We're going to cue it up, man.
Yeah.
Killing the show.
Oh, yeah. Everything's my fault.
Hey, Patrick, leave the show next week.
That's right. So like him.
This Tom and Curly podcast is brought to you in part by Farrah.com. If you're getting ready to sell your home, do it in a way that's more transparent and will save you thousands of dollars in commission fees. It's Farrah. All the services you need when selling your home and no listing commission. Find out all about it at Farrah.com. Farrah.com. Now, the Tom and Curly podcast.
Career swept up and washed away. The tsunami of Me Too. Charlie Rose was one of the bodies that wound up on the beach there, Tom. Back in November, the allegations came that 8 women said that he made inappropriate comments and made them feel uncomfortable, might have touched them inappropriately as well. That was the eight that caused Charlie Rose within like 24 hours to be fired from CBS, the morning show, and then also 60 Minutes as well. And Charlie Rose's career in the ash can. So today or yesterday, more news comes out that apparently CBS knew about Charlie Rose as far back as when?
1986.
Okay.
Now, so CBS, it's a little dicey about this. The report out now in the Washington Post, they've done this big investigation. They now have, in addition to the eight, that primarily were focused on Charlie Rose's own Charlie Rose show, not the CBS hires before and after the his PBS show. But now they've come with an additional 27 women. 27.
27.
14 CBS News employees and 13 who worked with him in other capacities at other shows. And they say that CBS was warned three different times. Now, CBS, by CBS, it doesn't mean it goes to the top. It just means like the immediate superior, like a manager at CBS. Was warned about this, and it goes as far back as 1976, the first allegations. The first warning was in 1986, and how it was handled was, listen, you don't, so, I mean, I don't know if we want to get into the details. They are, you know, they're disgusting.
Salacious.
They're I mean, they're terrible, what the kinds of things that he's reported, and again, they're all just alleged,
right.
But the kinds of things that he's alleged to have said to women, alleged to that what he had done to him, how he touched them and all. But one of the women that complained about this said, you know, that I don't ever want to have to work with him. And the boss that she reported to said, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
You will never have to work with him again. You don't have to. You don't have to ever be alone with him. And that's where it was left. In other words, somebody comes to you and says, hey, he's being a jerk
problem.
To me. I got a problem. They say, okay, that's fine. We'll make
sure. Transfer you.
Yeah. Well, no, it's not even so much of a transfer. We'll just make sure that you don't. So they don't want to correct the behavior.
Right.
They just make sure that that person doesn't feel that way.
Yeah. So. It's self-selecting. So if you're offended by it, you don't have to work with him. But if you got no problem with it, then you get a chance to work with Charlie.
Yes.
So is it eight plus the 27?
It's eight plus 27.
Okay.
So, I mean, we are getting up, you know, to, I think there were 60 accusers of Bill Cosby. But, you know, Charlie Rose, when we first all heard this, Charlie Rose had this very kind of avuncular, you know, sort of a high-end interviewer. He was a PBS guy and then a CBS guy who was brought in. Get this. He was brought in to sort of establish the journalistic credentials of CBS morning show at the time. And yet there were these issues coming up. Now, the other two times that he was warned was after he was signed on with the CBS morning show, so it was relatively late. But what's interesting about this is if you establish a pattern, and if we have 34 women at this point, there's some kind of pattern over 30 years, you know, in the making. It happened as recently as 2017, in I think the spring of 2017.
So he's been at it for a long time.
Was the latest, yes.
When it comes to sexually harassing women, this guy has got a long, wonderful career.
It's in his blood, apparently, now. Yeah. What he says about this latest report is that he thinks the story is unfair and inaccurate.
Right.
He has apologized for I don't know if it's all eight of the women, but when that first story first came, he apologized for his behavior.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, you said that basically his career is over. That's not true. There was just a story 2 days ago that he is working on a kind of documentary where he is going to interview the Matt Lauers of the world.
Yeah,
and kind of, you know,
we all are.
Yeah.
Right.
How the world has changed.
There, you can look up online, Charlie Rose, weird sexual attention on the set at CBS. You want some? This is on his birthday.
This is visual?
Something that's recorded? He's on the set.
Okay.
And this woman has decided she's going to pull a Marilyn Monroe and sing to him, so she goes over to him.
Oh, no. Do a little bit of the Marilyn Monroe.
Yes.
Can I go over to you?
Yes.
Happy birthday, Charlie Rose. Hey, you're too cooperative.
Watch the hands. He knows what he's doing.
Wow. Yeah. If he puts his hands under here, stop him. Okay? Happy birthday.
Wow.
Who was that?
I don't know. Somebody's singing happy birthday to Charlie with Charlie's hands riding up and down on top of her. Here's the problem for CBS. It's known as the... a broken ice maker problem. If you tell somebody that there's a problem with the ice maker and the management does not correct it, and then somebody slips and falls on the ice, now you're liable. So 1986 or 1976, people came to CBS and said, hey, there's a problem with Charlie Rose. Mm-hmm. And they said the old, hey, he's a big star. Just don't bother. You don't deal with him, and then you won't have to deal with him.
if they didn't fix the problem, man, they are going to be in for it with all of these lawsuits coming forward.
Okay, and as long as we're dealing with on the legal matter, the second report to management, the report said that the woman pleaded them not to take this to HR. She did not want it to become an HR issue. Mm-hmm. And so the executive or whoever manager was at the time said, so I respected the employee's wishes. So that, I don't know if you could argue that that's sort of legitimate, that if they had gone to HR, they would have gone against an employee telling them their concerns.
I see. Still,
yeah, I think CBS has not come out of this smelling like anything but bad.
We'll save the Redskins cheerleader story. We want to save that for next tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. It was nice to have Mike Salk come by. He heard us talking about
it. Oh, yeah, that's right. Maybe we can get him on.
And he gave his impression.
Yes.
Yeah, why not have him on?
It would be great.
Mike Salk, come on tomorrow, talk about the cheerleader story if it's still around.
We're putting it on the list.
Okay, it's on the list. All right, here's what we do. Fast break, come back. You get a chance to write to us at mynorthwest.com. You can text as well at 98973. If there's any topic that we hit upon that you feel that we didn't illuminate enough, or just drag and beat like an old dead horse, then you can always write to us in Texas at 98973.
You know, I want to ask, since you've spent so much time on TV, have you ever had anyone kind of whisper in your ear, damn, you look good on TV?
Yeah.
Okay.
Lori Matsukawa, but she said that to me all the time.
As long as it wasn't Charlie Rose, we're safe.
Man's going to come by in just a little bit, Tom, but it is Thursday. This is the point in the show where we opened the floor for any Q&A, if anybody has any questions. Lady in the back with a Lululemon tight yoga pants on.
Is my pizza going to be covered in cocaine today? Yes! Yes! Oh! Yes! Yes! Yes!
That's a yes.
That's some Thursday.
Here comes the mailman. Yes, on the pizza.
I'm the mailman. As you can see, I'm the mailman. Don't nobody mess with me. I'm the mailman. If you didn't know, I'm the mailman. I bring the mail to your door.
Yes, he does. Hey, teeny tiny lady. Hello to you.
Hello.
Hello. She can tell us about the letter of the day, but first let's get started. Tom.
So let's start off with our top story of the day, the raucous town hall that we had.
Hold on a second. Don't run this guy short. The pizza day. Thank him very much. One of the people called up and they from 206 and they said, hey, could you please play Meg Ryan?
Ah.
Doing the yes, yes, yes. So we took that advice and that's where that came from.
Okay.
So
I thought because we took that advice, we didn't want to then repeat it.
No, no, it's okay. We're just giving credit for it.
So and credit. He Thanks, goes by the name of area code 206.
Yes, he does.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for the
All of Seattle is thanked. Good.
Please feel free to yes. improve the show.
It was very clever indeed. Yes. So we hear from Heidi in Redondo. In your audio clip of the council meeting, the people kept referring to each other as community members. Mm-hmm. Isn't that the term the Seattle police directed to use when we're talking about criminal suspects?
That's right. Community members. Marsha in Port Orchard. No, the hygiene problem at homeless camps is not exaggerated. This guy has his head in the sand or somewhere else.
And 206, Tom constantly supports the lying, thieving, corrupt, incompetent party as if their policies are working? Pathetic.
That guy really, whoever wrote 206, that he used his capital letters, right. And then he also a lot of explanation points. Here we go. Sean in Arlington says, on homelessness, to fix poverty and trickle-down economics versus tax reform that uniformly burdens both wealthy and poor alike. Here comes the golden rule, the silver bullet to begin and end all solutions. The nuclear option, if you will, because it would work immediately, if not instantly. Those who have had their clenched fist around the throat of mankind for the last several hundred years will continue to resist at all cost from allowing it to pass. The true solution is basic income.
It's been getting kicked around a lot of
Richard
late.
Nixon and Milton Friedman.
Rob in Mill Creek regarding stupid Seattle voters.
Yeah, huh?
Stop beating up the Seattle City Council. They're only doing what the voters wanted, giving away the ranch. The liberals, greenies, and progressives of Seattle are getting what they voted for. Arrogant fat cat elites and good old-fashioned social engineering. It did not work for Russia or China, and it ain't going to work here.
Mm-hmm.
Cheers.
Success in life, 425 John, I disagree. I have no high school diploma or GED. I got a GED tech school, and I'm clearing $150,000 at Microsoft. Good for you.
Yeah, excellent.
Did you have a kid out of wedlock?
425.
He's doing all right.
425, John says the only, he might write in and say yes, as a matter of
maybe
fact.
Maybe he did.
425, John says the only way to increase wealth is to increase productivity. Productivity has gone up consistently since the 1970s, and workers have just fallen behind. Wages have not followed. Wages have not followed.
Mm-hmm. Here, here. Growing Punches, MH in Seattle, says you guys either overlooked it or you didn't know, but one of the things Draymond Green is known for is kicking other players in the jimmies. Mm-hmm. There's lots of video of that. You can yeah. watch that. So forget about punching in the face. I see players can pay back on that one.
That's funny, yeah. Mm-hmm. 425. Curly's comments about punching Karen Valentine in the face, the most intelligent thing he said all morning.
Let me just say this. that a name I could come up with
yeah.
on the spur. Oh. It was Mitch in the morning, but I couldn't remember his ouch. I didn't remember his name.
Yeah.
I'm in favor of punching women.
Yeah. It didn't come off that way, John.
First of all, the fact that you didn't know who Karen Valentine was.
No, I mean, I couldn't believe you were bringing her up. I mean, I know her vaguely as an actress who we hadn't thought of in 40 years.
And you haven't
years.
Thought about punching Karen Valentine in the last 40 years?
I haven't thought about Karen Valentine in the last 40 years.
Scotty, guys, wow. That's one hard face getting punched there. Sounds like a 2x4 getting broken instead. Ouch. Okay.
425. I would like to give Mike O'Brien a wrister right to the face.
306, punch Inslee, Constantine, and the Seattle City Council. You can't punch everybody.
You know, I'm beginning to think that we're not doing a good service, public service by suggesting, hey, who could we punch out next? But I'll continue nonetheless.
Yes.
425. Oh, down goes Curly.
Wow.
425. Is Curly on the list of people we can punch in the face?
Yes.
Yeah.
Legally, you've got to punch one person. I would take it like up near the cheekbone, but like don't hit my teeth. No, right here.
Of course.
Seriously.
Yeah.
I can take it here.
Not the teeth, man.
Don't hit the teeth. Anything below the nose. Remember, Tom, Nunes isn't lying if he believes it. Now punch yourself in the face. Ouch.
I know. I give him too much credit. I assume he knows he's lying.
All right.
Okay. On the in-studio camera, Kathy in Auburn writes in, I'm watching the video antics. Is John going to be on Brock's Above and Beyond? That would be awesome. Oh, that's hilarious.
Does Brock do that?
That's the name of his podcast.
Oh.
You should know that. So you were wearing your Above and Beyond.
Yes.
For the thousands that aren't watching it, John is wearing
283 people were watching as I did my Above and Beyond dance.
Yeah.
Well, Larson was trying to read the news.
Taped it to his chest.
And then I threw it out.
Yeah. And you threw it out there?
Yeah, in the garbage.
That's very good. Okay.
Yeah. Eric in Bothell, once made famous by the show John Tom Lion Attack. Yeah, once again, we have another exciting video on radio, which may surprise you guys. It's an audio medium. And exciting as it was for the quote-unquote listeners, perhaps in future you could broadcast some magic tricks. Card tricks being my favorite. Acrobats is also entertaining, as well as jugglers, possibly. Wait. One more thing you might yet introduce to the pure audio media. How about mimes? We all love mimes. Perhaps you could give it a try. We'll either see them or hear them. Fascinating radio, guys. Keep it up. It was not my idea to do the lion.
Yeah. That's right.
But sometime, but Tom, I have to tell you something. It was interesting because you can listen to it, right? It's scary. You don't need to see it.
Oh, my God.
Shoot.
Punch the lion. Punch the lion again. See? Eric and Bothell, use your imagination.
And by the way,
shame on you, Eric and Bothell. Go ahead.
Between one of the commercials, John does mime every day.
It's true.
On the pointing the gun issue, mm-hmm. Tucker Scott.
Yeah.
Only a non-gun person would think that the shotgun was pointed at or near that kid. How
Thank
lame.
You. Thank you. I knew anybody in a guy named like Tucker Scott would know about guns. 206, that gun is pretty close. Not exactly at him. It's enough to make me nervous.
That's right. And 253, what a bunch of wimps.
Yeah.
He doesn't point the gun at the kid, not even close.
Boom.
Hell, I'd vote for him.
There you go.
Yeah, figures.
Yep. That's our problem in America. Too many dads that care about their kids too much.
That's funny.
Perfect.
And 425, a gun video. Knock it off. You two are really annoying. Not funny at all.
No, too bad. And I would vote for him, says 360. Mm-hmm.
And now on Rudy Giuliani
yes.
from Steve in Paulsbo. Let us not forget that we were voting for our next president, not the next pope, just like if HRC was voted in. Thank the Lord that didn't happen.
Hmm.
See, that's why Trump is safe.
And now it is time for the letter of the
the day.
Letter of the day, Tom.
And we're back to your favorite story, the gun ad, where we were not funny. Area code 206. The ad you are speaking of is a dramatization, not a real-life scenario, as any person with common sense knows.
Thank you.
Just another example of how everything is spun to one side or the other. Sure, the Georgia young man would have powder burns from the muzzle blast and tinnitus when he was older, but he'd still be alive. Well worth it if you get to marry the governor's daughter, if you ask me.
There you are. Well done.
I think he just burned you, too.
I wasn't listening to that.
I'm done. Bye-bye.
What's new?